clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, great Friday to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. And the weather is warm, 89 degrees already. Wind south, 10 mile an hour, gust up to 18. Dew point is 65, humidity is 46%. Looking good. I seen something a while ago that was wanted to talk to you guys about. I was looking at the mesonet air temperature for the state of Oklahoma. Elk City, we're at 89. Cheyenne seems to be the cool spot again today. There are cool people up there at 85. Altus is 89. Apache, Fort Cobb, both 86, but way up there in the panhandle around Boise City, Eva, Goodwill. It's in the 60s right now. The fall is coming. It's good. Man, I love those temperatures. Went out and raked some hay this morning before I came to work, and it was nice, and hay raked really good, and get it baled up tonight or in the morning. Everything's good. It's just a great Friday, everybody. Just be happy that you're alive and kicking today. So a couple more things from the OSU Extension office. Again, next Thursday, September 23rd, here in Elk City at the Western Technology Center over there next to the Old Town Museum is the early season wheat management meeting. One CEV credit will be offered for attending this, and it's only open to Beckham and Washtenaw counties. Call the extension office, do RSVP to guarantee your meal. Call Zach. Get your meal in there, because I know everybody loves to have a free lunch. That was Thursday. So next Friday, though, there will be a peanut blasting meeting at the Beckham County Fairgrounds building from 9:30 to 12. Sorry, right there by the courthouse. And then on the 29th of September at the Marvin Clemming Range Research Station, the OSU one out there by Bessie, there's going to be all kinds of things going on out there. 7:30 registration, 8:15 welcome, 8:30 station and history project overview, neon presentations, supplementation research at the Clemming Range. They'll be talking about, Dr. Beck was on here, 3 weeks ago, and he was talking about the supplements that they're doing out there. And they're going to do patch burning and grazing distribution and old world blue stem and wildlife. And then at 11:30, the hay storage demonstration. Speaking of Dr. Beck, he will be on our show here on Today in Ag this coming Monday. And he's going to be talking about what's going to be happening out here at the Clemmy Range Research Station. And he's also going to be talking about insects, mainly armyworms and grasshoppers. While I was raking hay this morning, them grasshoppers are still flying like dove coming to a cornfield. I mean, they're still here. And yesterday after work, I had to go to the city with my beautiful wife, Sandy. I had a doctor's appointment up there to get my hearing checked out and ears checked out that I do every 5 months. And looks like everybody's been listening to me because there was nobody sowing weed out there. Worried about the army worms. I'm just kidding. I did not see anybody dusting any wheat in yesterday or sowing any. So there's some farmer out there. I know there's somebody out there. He's probably doing it behind a tree row or something, hiding what he's doing. But anyway, somebody's out there planting some wheat. I know they are. You can't tell me nobody needs any early fall wheat pasture. We are streaming live on Facebook. And if you got anything you want to, you got hay you want to sell or you need to buy some, give me a text on the KECO Ag text line at 580-225-9697. Be sure and text that in here pretty quick so I can get it on air before the show's over today. All kidding aside, if you got some, I was looking into Penny News. Hang on here with me a second. I was looking in there in the Penny News, and there's a lot of good hay for sale in the Penny News. There's Bermuda, there's alfalfa, people looking for some. If you need some hay, it's going. Oh, and hey, today, Elk City Livestock Auction is happening right now at the Elk City Sale Barn here. And go out there. Them ladies do a wonderful job with meals at noon out there. If anything, go out there just to eat. But Monday will be the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction there east of Clinton on I-40. That'll be happening. Anything you need sold or bought, give Mr. Brandon Hickey a call. He'll take care of you. He's a wonderful guy. Coming up next Saturday, September 25th at 12 noon, Hobart Stockyards will be having their monthly sheep and goat auction. There was over 700 head there last month, if I remember my numbers right. But anyway, you can bid in person or online, and call Rex Fleming if you need anything, or the sales manager for the sheep and goat sales is Kent McCorkle. And so there's a big ad in Penny News. This is great Penny News this week. Penny News just fascinates me. There, if you cannot find what you're looking for in the Penny News, you don't need to be buying anything. It's all there. Auctions, equipment for sale. There's Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply over at Eric. They're one of their they got it going on over there. They're open Monday through Saturday, 7:30 to 5 p.m. Rother Brothers over at Clinton. They got all your equipment needs you need over there. There's right on the front page, I personally know Brock Whitson. He's got Whitson Water Well Drilling Services out of Thomas. Give them a call if you need a water well drilled in that area, or probably he'll probably travel anyway. Got that going on. But, nope, there's all kinds of stuff in the Penny News. Pick it up. It's free. It don't cost you a penny, even though it's called the Penny News. Great. And then so, well, one thing before we go to our first break, and then Americans who rely on propane for heating are facing the most expensive winter as prices for the fuel jump to its highest since 2014. I warned you guys about a month ago these propane prices were coming, but it's risen 60% so far in Mont Bellevue, Texas, the main U.S. trading hub, amongst the strong overseas demand and tighter production. A rally in natural gas is adding adding momentum. I think natural gas today was well over $5, which is good for our area around here because we got lots of natural gas wells around here. And since about 80% of Americans' propane is a byproduct of gas processing. The propane surge comes amongst skyrocketing costs for raw materials, added to inflation concerns. About 5% of the U.S. households use propane as their primary heating fuel, and farmers rely on it to dry corn crops. Well, corn harvest is underway, and I think we're standing at 5 to 6% on the harvest, so, and cooler weather is on the way, so they're going to be needing this propane. It's also used as an ingredient in plastics production, intensifying price pressure for consumer goods. Propane suppliers usually build up stockpiles going into the winter, but higher exports this year and rising demand from petrochemical producers are making it harder to replenish inventories. Oil refineries, which typically supply the other 20% of the U.S. propane, curbed operations after Hurricane Ida tore through Louisiana in late August. Propane inventory set at 70.8 million barrels, about 20% below the five-year average of this time of the year, according to the latest data from the Energy Information Administration. At the same time, the country shipments to overseas buyers have continued to increase over the last 2 years as exporters expand terminals and ink contracts with consumers in Asia. Get you some propane while you can. You better call in, put your name on some anyway. But we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I have Mr. Kent Watkins in the studio. He come in here wearing his big old cowboy hat, so I know he's been out working. And he's got some sweat rings, I think, on his shirt. So it's all good. We're going to talk soil health. And so don't go nowhere, and we'll be right back. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
We raise registered Red Angus. We sell bulls, heifers, seed stock quality type. Red Angus offer superior marbling. Docility is probably the biggest selling point for Red Angus, the maternal traits, and some heat tolerance. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at LMAauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
We truly are a family at First National Bank. When you have a family member that's sick, everyone knows. When something's happened within your family, when you have celebrations, we truly are a family at First National Bank and Trust. We're very proud of the institution that we work for. We're very proud of each other. It is like a family. We call it our bank family. I'm Tammy DeGarmo, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, I'm back, and I'm trying to get this thing to update, and there it is. It's finally updating. Computer's a little slow today. It's currently 89 degrees, heat index 90 degrees, and I did get a text in, but I can't mention his name because he knows where I live, so I don't need him to be coming over. But somewhere over there in Ouachita County, there's a farmer that said, to hell with them worms, he's sowing wheat. So I won't mention his name, though. I used to be kin to him, if that'll help you guys guess who it is. So anyway, but Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech is in the studio with me today, and we're going to do a series of soil health adventures together.
Right. That's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about soil health.
We're going to talk about soil health. Kent was on about 3 weeks ago, if I remember. Yeah, it was about 3 weeks ago, and the response from our listeners – and everybody was great, and it was a great interview with him. Or it wasn't even an interview, it was a conversation. And because soil health is very important to what we do today, especially with our no-till and our cover crops and all that. And today we're going to talk, one of the things we're going to talk about is soil armor. Is that correct?
Yep.
Help me out.
Okay, we're going to talk about, there are five pillars to soil health. We're going to talk about two today, and we'll kind of get through those. Just a couple of things to think about right off the bat. In a producer's life on the farm, he has typically approximately 40 seasons. 40 years is typically what a farmer does on the land. And in most of that time, he does it the way the generation before him did it. But now with technology and what we can see, We know there's a lot more going on in soil profile than we thought there was. For instance, in one teaspoon of healthy soil, there is more single-cell life than there are human beings on the planet in one teaspoon of soil.
Really?
Really. So it's very important to preserve that and increase that as much as possible. So one of the things that I want to talk about today is armor on the soil. So for you conventional guys, I hope I don't make your blood pressure go up, but here's the reality of it. If you keep the ground covered with straw, some kind of residue of some kind, it helps keep the soil cooled off to start with, because that single cell life that we have to make the fertilizer or anything else that you're using work, we have to keep them cooled off below 110 degrees. Well, in August, when it's 105 or 100, the soil surface temperature can be 145.
Easily.
Well, they start dying off at 110 long in there. It's not like they're going to burrow down deeper. They can't move much. So the advantage to keeping armor on the soil is you keep the soil cooled off, soil surface cooled off. When you do get that rain event, you have something for that 40-mile-an-hour raindrop to hit, slows it down, and lets it soak into the soil instead of running off into washes, into creeks, stuff like that. It's a big advantage. Also, as your soil biology, including earthworms, centipedes, all the macros, start to do their thing, they start working on that residue that's left on the soil and increasing your soil organic matter. Soil organic matter is the lifeblood. It's basically how big the house is that the microbes live in. So for far western Oklahoma, where we sit, before about the time the Europeans got here, the soil organic matter here was approximately 1.7%. Most of this land now is well under 1%, and that's due to heavy tillage over the decades, especially after we got mechanized after World War II.
Right.
We really sped it up a lot after that. So every time that you till, and here's where the high blood pressure is going to come in for some guys, when you look behind the tillage tool and you see the dust flying, that's organic matter that you're blowing to the atmosphere. And in western Oklahoma, you don't have that kind of luxury anymore to do that. So if you have a typical soil profile here, organic matter, let's say it's 0.7%. If you move that to 1.5, you've doubled your organic matter, and you can do that pretty quickly just by putting armor on the soil. But what that really does for the producer is it doubles his water holding capacity in that soil. So maybe if you stop the tillage and you start keeping that ground covered up, maybe you're not so desperate for that next rainfall.
Right.
So that's one thing. The other, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's great information right there, because I noticed this year, and I don't know if you and I touched on it the last time you was in here, I noticed this year we've got a lot of rain this year. Up until about a month ago, right. Now we're in our typical Oklahoma, western Oklahoma pattern. But I noticed this year, and some areas had some great big old rains, and most areas just had a half inch to 1 inch here and there and all that stuff. But I noticed the runoff this year in the area where I'm hanging out a lot. I noticed the runoff, they were zilch. You know, usually the roads wash out with rains coming through there, down the side of the road or whatever. But in my area, there's not a lot of tillage either.
Right.
And that rain is doing some good.
Yes, it is. You can tell when farms have converted to the no-till with cover crops. First, with no-till, that started to fail because the chemistry started to fail. And then we incorporated cover crops, and that makes, when you incorporate cover crops, it makes your weed species change to an easier weed to control. So you can tell by looking at the farm ponds who's changed to this system and who hasn't. because when you get a rain event like we had in July and June of the, or June or July of this year, the farmers who haven't converted, their ponds are full.
Yes.
And the farmers who have, their ponds are maybe only a third to a half full because they're putting that water in the ground.
Exactly. Yeah. And I noticed that also. You know, I mean, we got lots of different soil types in Western Oklahoma. I mean, we got A to Z from, it's different from Altus to Roger Mills County, Beckham County out here. There's a lot of sand, but there's also a lot of clay, red dirt, I call it the red dirt. And down in Kiowa County, you got that black dirt down in there, and it's crazy. But I did notice there's a lot of farm ponds that are almost dry right now.
That's right.
On my way to the city yesterday, you always notice with all the rain we've been getting in Oklahoma, right there by the prison where the prisoners got all those dairy cattle, those ponds are usually just full, and just that one on the south side of the interstate yesterday was dry.
Yeah. Well, if you remember, that ground that around it is all pasture now.
Right.
They don't farm that anymore.
Right.
So that what they've done, whether intentionally or not, they have slowed the water down from running into that little pond.
Yep.
And it infiltrates into the soil. And if you look at that pasture, it's pretty good now.
Oh, it's really good.
It's really good.
There was some Holstein, because that's what they do. They got those Holsteins out there, and they're fat as ticks, and there's still plenty out there to eat, but that pond was drier than heck.
Yeah, and on the north side there, you know, they still till that wheat ground on the north and the west side of that, and then they have a little pasture around there, but that pond stays full. When it's raining, it stays full because all the water's running down.
Yeah, and
down
it
there.
Was three quarters full yesterday.
Yes.
And so,
yes.
But anyway, well, how about our next step?
Okay, so then it's low disturbance, and that's the second pillar of soil health. Okay, so when you talk about low disturbance, really and truly, that means park the tillage tools. You're not helping yourself. And this is a big leap to make, especially if you're a younger guy and you have the older generation whispering in your ear all the time, this is not going to work, this is going to fail, you're going to go broke. That's a hard step to make. But if you'll just make it, take a leap of faith and make it, it'll be just fine. After you do a farm or two, you'll get a comfort zone set up that you're comfortable with it, and it's a lot easier to go forward from that point. But my point on that is, take one farm or two farms, depending on how big you are, and prove the concept.
Yep.
And do the thing, make the steps that you have to make, do the concept. So that means little or no tillage. That means a no-till planter and a no-till drill. Really and truly, for us out here, a no-till planter, a no-till drill, and a sprayer is all the equipment.
Right.
And I know that there's equipment manufacturers that are cringing right now, you guys that sell equipment, but it's the truth. I mean, yeah, if you want to have a swather and baler and all that, that's fine. But, I mean, as far as putting a crop in, that's really all you need to do. You don't need all the tillage equipment.
Yep. I remember when I worked over at Foss at K&D Farm Ranch over there back in the 80s, you know, we did conventional. We went in there and combined our wheat, pastured it out or whatever. We go through there on the pastured ground with the big ox all of our ground. And when we got through combining wheat crops, we go through there, either chisel it or disc it, and then do the next round and just get that back down to bare dirt. Because I remember the gentleman I worked for, his big deal was, he said, you got to till that straw up because we've cut it off and it's open air at the top and it's sucking the moisture out through the straw into the air, and we're losing all of our moisture in the ground. And it's been proven that's not a fact. I'm not making fun of him. I mean, that's just the concept back then.
That was the thought back then, and except for the joints that are still left, you know, in that straw where it's not going to come through.
You think?
But,
we didn't combine that low.
Yeah, but, I understand that. I mean, you know, I've heard that and I've seen that. And like I said last time, guys say, well, a cover crop in the summertime uses too much water. Truth of the matter is, and even OSU will will tell you the same thing. A fallow wheat ground in the summer is going to use approximately 2 inches of moisture, except it's going to be through evaporation,
right,
and the ground's going to be hot. And a summer cover crop that's, say, knee-high to waist-high, right, or maybe even head-high, is going to use 2 inches of moisture. The difference is when it does rain, it hits all that forage, and it slows that rain down before it gets to the ground. So you don't have any splashing. You don't have any real rills. You don't have any washing. You don't have any of that. And so a summer cover crop is really important, especially if you're going to put in a winter wheat crop or something like that.
I got a question for you. One of our listeners texted in. He said, do you have any opinions of strip club tillage? Or tillage, then immediately planting a cover crop. This is an Iowa farm boy who still believes in turning the soil at least once every few years.
Are you talking about strip till?
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Okay, yeah, I have a lot of customers who still strip till over in Caddo County, Maine. They strip till. It's about 4 inches wide. You really need the technology to be able to do that, to stay on the row and all that. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
Precision farming.
It is. It is. And they have, you know, they have to spend a lot of money to get that equipment to be able to do that. But they do that, especially in the corn that's grown over there. It's done that way.
So another listener texted him, and he says, yeah, when you go no-till, you have to have 4 ag tires for your drill, LOL. Thanks, Spencer. That was funny. you're busy down there. You just had enough time to stop by here and chit chat with me for a little bit. What are you blending a lot of right now?
Well, right now it's mostly for guys who are looking for forage. So it's triticale rye, Austrian winter pea, hairy vetch, and a tillage radish. That's the base that we use here. Guys can add things to that. If they want to experiment some, that's great. Do that. But if you're starting, start with the basics. Start with something you're comfortable with that we know will grow here, that your livestock can get the utilization out of.
Right.
And you're still diversified. It's not a monoculture. That's really important because we know now through radioactive isotopes that we can see in the soil that if you do a multi-species blend, the deeper rooted stuff that's in that blend brings moisture and nutrition to the mid-level rooted stuff, and then the mid-level rooted stuff brings it all up to the shallower stuff, and they all share across those soil horizons.
Well, what you just talked about the ones you're blending right now. So what's your deep-rooted ones?
Well, triticale would be the deepest root. We dug a soil pit, probably been 4 years ago now. We dug it down 5 feet. And we had triticale roots 5 feet deep.
Really?
Yes. And that was, we planted it in mid-September, and that was in March when we did it. No, it was in April. It was in April.
April. 5 foot.
We dug down 5 foot, and the roots were at the bottom of the pit. I don't know how deep they went, but that's what we saw.
That's almost deep as alfalfa.
Yeah. Well, so, alfalfa would go 18 or 20.
Oh, yeah. But, it'd go a long ways.
You know, and then the rye is the same way. The rye, from a soil health standpoint, rye wins, hands down. Triticale's second, barley's third, oats is next, and wheat is dead last. It does not do much in the soil profile at all. It's a very shallow-rooted plant.
Okay.
And it's dead last.
I got you.
From a soil pro and from a forage standpoint, if you're trying to ton up for grazing or hay,
yeah,
it's the worst of all of them.
Really?
It really is.
Well, what's your mid-range?
Okay, so out of the legumes, the Austrian winter pea and the hairy vetch, they're going to be the mid-range. And then the dicot radish or a turnip, they're going to be the shallow-rooted stuff.
Right. But the radishes and the turnips, though, they do you a lot of good because they get big at the top. Is that right?
Well, the radish does the most good. It's a plant that puts out a tuber, if you aren't aware of them. It looks a lot like a carrot, And you put them in, you don't use a lot of them. Maybe in our country, maybe a half a pound per acre is plenty. And they cycle phosphorus really well. And then in the dead winter, if we have a hard winter, they will freeze out and die. And then they rot pretty quickly. And then when that hole that they leave, that's a good place for water infiltration.
Oh, yeah.
And the water runs in there, and we're still in the dead of winter. And then you get the freeze and thaw effect to help continue to break your hard pan.
Yep. And that's
And then cows really don't like them until they get froze on. And about 2 or 3 days after they've been froze on 2 or 3 times.
Look out.
They change. That profile changes in that plant. All that carbohydrates turn to sugar. And you'll go out there one of these days, middle of the winter, and you'll notice there aren't any more tillage rashes because the cows all bit them off top of the ground.
I did that down there in that bottom, my place that I have rented there on the river, and the river gets out. When the river gets out, it gets out on this field. And there's so many soil top types on that 30 acres there that it'd scare you.
Mm-hmm.
One end is so sandy it blows, right in the middle so tight you can't even get the no-till to take in it, and at the other end is just normal. There's all kinds of stuff in there. But I planted those radishes in there, and it broke that up, and mm-hmm. that next crop was nice. I mean,
yes.
it is, you could tell that there wasn't no – all the seeds come up. Majority of the seeds come up. I got a couple of questions for you. I know you need to get back, but this gentleman texted in. He says, what kind of ground was the Triticale planted in to reach 5-foot root depth? Sand or tighter land? What was it?
Sandy. Sandy soil.
Sandy soil. There's the answer. And then this other guy texts, what is the best cover crop? And he said, never mind. He answered it. So anyway, thanks for your responses today. And Mr. Watkins, thanks for stopping by.
Appreciate it.
And we'll see you in a couple of weeks, and we'll continue this conversation on soil health.
That'll be good. We got 3 more pillars to get through.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You're listening to Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO, and Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech was in here. And if anybody needs any blends done also, he's got the blending machinery to do it down there on South Washington here in Elk City. Be right back.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, September 10th. 1,617 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 465, brought 197.50. 44 at 532, brought 170. 6 at 618, brought 156. 14 at 652, brought 145.50. 17 at 709, brought 135. 5 at 990, brought 136. 8 head of heifers at 412, brought 147. 4 at 493, brought 142.50. 8 at 626, brought 132.50. 9 at 669, brought 139.50. 3 at 842, brought 132.50. 8 at 986 brought 125. Butcher cows were 20 to 85.50. Bred cows 800 to 1400. Butcher bulls 50 to 100. Pairs brought 1075 to 1250. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm James with Western Equipment. Listen up, any high school junior and senior, and any parent or grandparent of any high school junior or senior. By your junior and senior year, it's time to start planning for a job. Right now, if you don't know what you want to do, check out the John Deere AgTech program through Western Equipment. It's a 2-year program, and afterwards, we guarantee you a solid job at one of our 21 locations in Texas, Oklahoma, or New Mexico. Now is the time. Visit west-equip.com/careers for more information to apply.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey, welcome back. Great conversation with Kent Watkins of the SEI Agritech down there on South Washington, right here in Elk City, Oklahoma. A lot of good information. Like I said, we're going to do a series of the soil health deals because it's important that all you guys, a lot of you guys already know about it, but there's room for people to learn, and there might be something out there you haven't heard of yet, but he's really sharp on it. One of our listeners said he turned in late. What did he say about the best cover crop? Well, what he was saying today for triticale and vetch and radishes, turnips, just major blend, whatever you want there. If you got any questions, you can get a hold of Kent down there at SEI Agritech. Look him up, and he'll answer your question. Thanks for tuning in. Well, the weather favors the Corn Belt for harvest activity, and we got the drought monitor. Oklahoma, state Oklahoma, and right even right here in our listening area, we are in the short-term D0 abnormally dry monitor right now, but way up north in North Dakota, Wyoming, Montana, Washington, Idaho, Oregon, California, Utah, northern New Mexico, western Mexico, New Mexico, a little bit in Colorado now, the drought monitor is bad. It is anywhere from extreme to exceptional drought up there, and looks like South Dakota has got a little less extreme going on now, but they're still dry up there. And we hope we all start getting some good weather around here and get our moisture caught back up. We, people in our listening area, we've been spoiled all summer to about a month ago. And then, I mean, I know we got us a rain the other night, which was great. I noticed when I was coming back from the city yesterday, looked like down towards Cordell and Rocky, they might have got one of those good cotton showers. And good for you guys, but while on the dry side, recent weather across much of the country favors summer crop migration and the beginning of harvest and winter wheat planting, according to the latest U.S. Drought Monitor map. The conditions released today are based on the data that it was current at 8 o'clock, day before yesterday. This week's USDA crop progress report showed that more than one-third, 37% of the U.S. corn was fully mature, while 38% of the soybeans were dropping leaves versus respective five-year averages of 31% and 29%. In the Midwest, short-term dryness, which is a D for dog, zero, has begun to expand across southern eastern sections of the region. And we're in that region, might not be in the Midwest, but we're in that D0. Long-term drought issues are still persisting across the upper Midwest despite some recent rainfall. And talking about Minnesota and Wisconsin, looks like Minnesota, the whole northern half of that state is in extreme drought. As of Sunday, the USDA reported that topsoil moisture was at least one-third very short to short in each of the Midwestern state except for Wisconsin, which was led by Indiana at 47%. During the week ending September 12th, very short to short topsoil moisture values increased by more than 10% in Indiana and Ohio. In contrast, locally heavy rain was observed in the Great Lakes region. Elsewhere, lingering impacts from the summer drought left 63% of Minnesota's pasture in very poor to poor condition on September 12th, according to the Drought Monitor. In the High Plains, short-term dryness and drought have become more apparent in recent weeks across the southern section of the region, including parts of Kansas and Colorado. Aggravated by periods of late summer heat, that according to this week's Drought Monitor report, across the High Plains, September 10th through 11th was triple-digit temperatures in Kansas. Burlington, Colorado was 101 degrees. Dodge City was 105. It was hot up in that area. It was hot here, too. Further north, some of the adjustments, mostly improvements to the drought, despite primary in the Dakotas, based on a favorable impact from recent rain events. For example, improvements in topsoil moisture have led to some greening of drought-affected pastures and have encouraged winter wheat producers to begin planting. I don't think anybody's planting up there just yet, but whatever. Still, the USDA reported Monday that topsoil moisture was 64 to 71% short in the Dakotas, while rangeland and pastures were rated 77 to 80% very poor to poor, reflecting the long road ahead regarding drought recovery. The topsoil moisture on the high plains ranged from 39% very short to 79% in Nebraska. 39% short to short in Nebraska and 79% in Wyoming. Looking ahead, a pattern change in the Pacific Northwest will result in cooler weather and widespread showers starting on Friday. And we do have a chance tonight for some rain showers, and that'll be coming up on my Hobart Farm and Garden Weather Long Ranger here in just a few minutes. During the weekend, though, this weekend, cool, showery weather will spread eastward across the nation's northern tier, northern California, central to the southern high plains. Our 6 to 10-day outlook looks like from September 21 to September 25th calls for the likelihood of below normal temperatures from the Great Basins to the northern sections of Rockies and High Plains, which includes us, while warmer than normal weather will prevail along the east of a line from southern Arizona to Minnesota, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor report. Meanwhile, below normal precipitation across much of the western half of the United States contract with wetter normal conditions in the Pacific Northwest, which they needed up there. Terrible. Got a buddy that lives up there in Oregon, and there's no words to describe it. And we've been through severe droughts here. We just come out of one in 2015, a severe one. And so we're praying that they get it. So anything from the Mississippi Valley eastward, excluding the northern Atlanta states, is going to be wet this weekend. When I come back, a little bit more weather and then some grain reports that I got for us and some prices. And we'll be right back after this. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot. One connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale this Thursday, September the 16th. We're expecting 3,000 cattle. We'll start the auction at 8 a.m. From Woodward, got 48 calves, 4 to 6. Woodward got 28 Red Angus bulls and heifers, calves at 5. Clinton got 45 calves, 4 to 6. Slipout got 48 steers and every 7 to 8. Moreland got 46 heifers, 7 to 7.5. Wheeler, Texas, 300 steers, 8 to 9. Gage, 153 steers, 6.5 to 8.5. Laverne got 55 steers and every 7 to 8. Slipout, 17 heifers, 7 to 75. Gage, 32 steers at 8. Fargo, 135 steers at 9. And Melissa, Texas, 85 heifers, 7 to 8. Again, we're expecting 3,000 cattle. We will start the auction at 8 a.m. Give us a call. Thanks again, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal.
Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local high-pro feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. And we got the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast. Remember, hunting season's here and lots of hunting coming up. October 1st, archery season starts. Can't wait. I'm fired up to go out there and set and fight the mosquitoes and ticks crawling on me and the whole nine yards. But anyway, it's ready to go. Today, high 93 with a 20% chance of rain. Tonight, 65, 20% chance of rain. Tomorrow, 91 degrees. Sunday, 93. Monday, 98 degrees. It's going to be warm. But guess what happens Tuesday? God answers our prayers to cool things down. A whopping high 80 degrees for Tuesday. I can't wait. It's that time of the year. I love fall. Hopefully this year we don't go from summer to winter like we have the last couple of falls. We didn't even have a fall. We haven't had a fall, I don't think, in a couple of years, to be honest with you. But anyway, that's our Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. I hope you guys enjoy that this weekend, because I know I got to get some hay baled tonight or in the morning early, because JB from Sarah and I are headed to Shamrock for the Shamrock Fall Classic. 2 days of golf, baby. I'm coming to see you, and hopefully we can win it and the Calcutta and all that good money. And but anyway, it's a good time over there. Lots of people. They raise money for scholarships for the schools over there, and they raise a lot of money. I think last year it was $30,000. So it's a great tournament. But I got a text in from my informant at the State Fair of Oklahoma. SARE 4-H and FFA kids completed in the Oklahoma Farm Bureau Livestock Judging Contest yesterday at the State Fair. If you guys remember the day before yesterday, I was saying that they were going to be doing that yesterday. And they come in sixth in the 4-H team out of 72 teams. They kicked some butt. And Peyton Poole, Carson White, Karsh Carlson, if I said that right, and Jaylee Gloria was on that judging team. There was they did great. Congratulations to the SARE 4-H / Beckham County 4-H team for doing that. And there was 1,344 kids competed in that yesterday at the State Fair. That's awesome. Congratulations, guys, on doing that. Well, got a couple more things to go. We got a few minutes left here. Well, you guys want to hear about your finances in the farming and or in the ag industry, period. Here we go. Thanks to the rush in investment, this is the renewable deal still. It says the same thing. Here we go. Wrong page. My bad. For the 10th straight month, the rural economy is showing growth, according to the Creighton University Rural Main Street Index, which is the RMI. For September of 2021, the RMI fell slightly to 62.5 from August's 65.3. The index ranges between 0 and 100 with a reading of 50, representing growth neutral. Solid grain prices, the Federal Reserve's record low interest rates, and growing exports have underpinned the rural Main Street economy, says Ernie Goss, who chairs that College of Business and leads the RMI. USDA data showed that the 2021 year-to-date agriculture exports are more than 27.6% above that from the same period last year. This has been a very important factor supporting the rural Main Street economy. Around 35% of bank CEOs reported their local economy expanded between August and September. The regional farm land price index advanced above growth neutral for the 12th straight month to a record high 85.2 from August's 76.6. Here's a couple of the state-by-state farmland price increase indexes. Colorado, 88.3, up from 68 in August. Iowa, 87.1, up from 71.1 in August. Kansas, our neighbor to the north, 84.5, up from 72.6 in August. And Nebraska, the corner of state Oklahoma over here in the northeast corner, they are at 81.1, up from 69.7 in August. And then we got South Dakota, 87, up from 74.7 in August. That's just to name a few of those. The September Farm Equipment Sales Index climbed from 66, climbed to 66 from 64.7 in August. Readings over the last several months represent the strongest consistent rate since 2012. The bank CEOs were asked, as a part of the American Families Plan, President Biden proposes to eliminate the stepped-up basis for inherited assets. For the agriculture system, this system could have changed what? Well, more than 8 of the 10 bankers expected, if implemented, the stepped-up basis portion of the President Biden's $3.5 trillion bill before Congress to have a negative impact on the rural Main Street economy, Gauz says. The stepped-up basis for inherited assets is critical to the preservation of the family farm. If approved, this will be a game-changer for family farms. This proposal will also impact any family-owned small businesses, Main Street versus Wall Street, in print. And that's put in very big letters in this article. That's also the goal of passing on their businesses to the next generation. Around 64% of the bankers expect the Federal Reserve to begin reducing their economically stimulative monthly bond purchases before the end of 2021. I expect the pullback in monthly purchases to push long-term interest rates slightly higher in the fourth quarter, he says. The confidence index will reflect what the CEO's expectations for the economy 6 months out increased for the first time since May of this year, 65.4, from August's 59.7. Improving farm exports, healthy agriculture prices, and healthy consumer spending push the economic outlook upward. On the other hand, 53.6% of the bank CEOs reported the Delta variant of the COVID-19 was having rising negative economic impacts. This RMI, which was started in 2005, represented an early snapshot of the economy of rural agriculture. So there is your financial update for the week. Everything looking good. Keep it going out there, guys. Ag industry, whether you're a farmer, rancher, or you own a feed store. Anyway, so you guys have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday. Dr. Phil Beck will be here. And God bless.
You've got it locked on Western.